Welcome to The Bonfire. This is Season 5, and we're focusing on prayer because prayer is an area that we all need to grow in. And we get into God's Word, and then it's also a relationship. Prayer is a conversation. It's not performance. We're connecting with God. We're abiding with Jesus. Prayer in every relationship, communication is key. And prayer is that two-way communication where we both share. We're not going to surprise God. He already knows our thoughts, our words. We're also going to listen to God. Prayer is powerful because God's powerful. And the Bible tells us that our prayers, they make a difference. They are powerful. Things change. Sometimes we change when we pray. Sometimes our situations change as God transforms them. And today, I want to combine prayer and fasting. We're going to take a look at Nehemiah chapter 1. And in particular, if you have a situation that you know is just beyond your control, too big for you to figure it out or even to tackle it, if it's an injustice or change it, you know you can't do it in your own strength. Now, that's true in the Christian life. There are some challenges, some opportunities that we have that we know are so massive that right away we're going to go to God because the battle belongs to the Lord. And not by might, not by effort, not by methods, not through our intelligence, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. God wants to do a great work and we're going to align with Him. We're going to be empowered by God, led by God. And that's Nehemiah's situation as he returns to the city and he's in Jerusalem. They've been in exile, and they were in exile because of their sin and rebellion. God rebuked them. And in that time in exile, there was a lot of trials. There was a testing, and they are returning to God. Symbolically, they're returning to the city, returning to Jerusalem. And as Nehemiah sees the city and hears the reports, he knows this city is in ruins. There's brokenness in the city. Do you have some brokenness in your city? Broken marriages, broken lives, broken relationships, broken bodies, broken hope. There's brokenness in our cities. And if we're honest, we care deeply about our city. And at the same time, we know we can't just change our city so it'll be like God designed it to be. And we can't do that just on human effort. That's why we pray. Prayer is a cry. We're crying out to God for help. Imagine and identify some situations in your life right now. Maybe it's what you've been called to, or maybe you didn't expect to be called to it, but you're right in the middle of it, and you're in a situation. It could be an individual relationship you have with someone. It could be your church. It could be your city. It could be your country, but you've noticed some things. There's some things that have pulled on the heartstrings, and you've had some tears over these things. You want to be part of the solution, but you just don't know where to start. That's where Nehemiah is, and as you open up the book of Nehemiah, and he learns of the brokenness, we see right away, when I heard these things, he said, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, mourning and grieving, but also hope, praying and fasting. How do praying and fasting come together, and how does that relate to the transformation that God wants to bring? God wants to change our cities, but it starts in our own heart. God wants to change our families, but it starts in our own heart. God wants to change in a lot of situations regarding our job, our work, our roles, the difference we're going to make. God wants to change our churches, but it starts in our heart. Combining prayer and fasting is extremely wise. A lot of people won't do it until they feel desperate. They won't do it because they're still in the illusion that through their own strength, they're going to fix it. But when you know that you know that this is too big for you, and it's bigger than you, you go to prayer, and you combine it with fasting. Prayer alone is an act of humility. Fasting is when we say, God, we desperately need you. You see fasting throughout the Bible. There are so many instances of fasting. Esther is going to call for a fast because there's a decree. She's now the queen. She went from an orphan to a queen. God raised her up. She's in a position for such a time as this, that even though there's a decree by the king to eliminate and annihilate all the Jewish people, she knows there's still hope because God is still good. And she tells the people to fast and pray, and she's going to approach the king, and God gives favor. But that step before she brings the request is to have everyone fasting. There's fasting and praying in the life of Jesus. in the desert, in this wilderness, 40 days. He's fasting. And yet there's spiritual strength. The devil shows up and he quotes scripture 3 times. He says no to temptation. When you fast and you pray and you seek God, there's a quickening that happens and you pick up what is wrong, what's evil, what's a temptation, and you say no to that and you turn from it. You're in scripture. Fast, pray, you're adding scripture. All this spiritual power. We need spiritual power in our lives, not spiritual impotency. We need spiritual power. And spiritual power comes with God's tools, fasting, praying, serving, seeking Him, the scripture. This builds us up. Jesus fasted and prayed. Moses fasted and prayed also for 40 days, 40 nights to seek God, to hear from God, to be close to God. When you fast, you say, God, I don't want any distractions here. I want nothing more than your presence. Your presence is what I want more than anything. And I'm going to set aside food and I'm going to seek you even more. God's going to give you, He's going to fill you with His word and His presence when you fast and you pray. Fasting is making room in your stomach, and it's really making room in your life and in your soul for more of God's presence. Fasting actually increases our spiritual hunger. It's hard to step away from food. We enjoy food. Food's a blessing. At the same time, there's a lot of people who don't have food. They're starving. And it reminds us of the great need to bring food to people who don't have it. It also reminds us that we need more. We are not just living on bread alone, but we need the Word of God. It reminds us that we have a spiritual appetite. See, you have an appetite in a lot of different areas of life. You have an appetite for fun and entertainment. You have an appetite for food. You have an appetite for relationships. You have an appetite for a lot of things. You also have a spiritual appetite. Don't have a famine when it comes spiritually. You have a spiritual appetite. Bring in the food. Bring in the nourishment. Bring in the word. Be built up. When your soul is thriving, every part of your life will be thriving. Sometimes we fast so that our souls will thrive. We fast and turn from sin. And we fast to seek God's wisdom, direction, His counsel, His guidance. The church fasted in Acts chapter 13, fasting, praying, worshiping. And God said, set apart for me, Saul, Paul, Barnabas, set apart for me, and then send them out on a journey. I'm just giving you some examples throughout scripture where fasting is core to what's happening. There's also a passage where the disciples can't drive out a demon. And Jesus says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting in some translations, this combination. Again, there's spiritual power. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Drive out the darkness. There's demons in the world, but the one who's in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who's in the world. And with fasting and prayer, there's spiritual power. You bring light into the darkness. All these different examples connected to prayer and fasting. How are you doing with fasting? What does that look like in your walk with God? Jesus made it very clear. He said, when you fast, when you fast. In other words, He said, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. It's a given. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be praying. If you follow Jesus, you're going to be generous. You're going to be giving and tithing. And when you follow Jesus, you're going to be fasting. And there's a lot of benefits to fasting. You do an online search and, you know, intermittent fasting. There's searches everywhere. This is what it does. It cleans out the toxins. It renews your body. There's a sense of health, revitalization. There's all kinds of physical benefits with fasting. People are fasting now to control weight loss and for a number of different reasons. There's some physical advantages to fasting, but that's not the main reason for fasting. The word fast means to cover the mouth. And it's a giving up of the food, and it's a gaining more of God's presence, His word, His prayer. Nehemiah is fasting, and as he sees the brokenness, he fasts. I want to encourage you to fast more often. Could be to fast from entertainment or food. It could be to fast from something that's distracting you from what God's called you to do. And you know it deep inside. If you got rid of this, or if you had less of this, or if you weren't as distracted by that, you would be different. You would be different if you let go of some of those things and you focused more on the good things that God has for you. I read recently that the number of hours people are on their phones, it's about 7 hours a day. And for teenagers, it's about 9 hours a day. And what's interesting is that every year, it's gone up almost an hour for many years now. It's like, where's it going to end? time on our phones, 7 hours a day, 9 hours a day. Like, it just keeps growing. And there's more and more time we're on the phones. Now, there's some plus sides with phones. I love to connect with people. I love to share videos and faith. There's relationships that start on the phone, where I reach out to someone and we start a relationship. There's inspiring content that builds me up spiritually on the phone. There's some good stuff on the phones. With my work, I use the phone. I'm not saying phones are evil. Phones are a blessing, but we need to know how to steward a phone. And if you spend too much time in the wrong stuff on phones, phones also bring in a world of evil. Phones are filled with temptation. Phones are filled with distractions. You might need to fast from a certain app or fast with a certain aspect. Could be an entertainment thing on your phone because it's taking you away from what's best. All that to say, fasting for Nehemiah is core. And today I'm emphasizing fast and pray together. Find some other people who will fast. The people in Nineveh, they fasted together. 120,000, they were fasting and they turned to God. It's amazing. We need a citywide revival today in cities across America. Fasting is probably going to be part of it when revival comes. Nehemiah fasts because he just wants to listen to God. He's at the starting point of this restoration in his city, and he just wants to hear from God. What he's saying is that nothing in my life matters right now, God, except to hear and be close to you, and that you would guide me so I could guide well. Lead me so I could lead well. Bring healing inside of my heart so there'll be healing in the city. Bring a vision to me, your vision, God, so there's a vision for the city. If today you need healing, you need a vision, you need guidance, you know you're called to lead and do something, start with fasting, start with listening, start with pouring out your heart in prayer. That's where Nehemiah begins. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be surprises along the way. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be challenges or obstacles or opposition. You might not have the next seven steps laid out. You might not have the plan that you hope to have, and it's just not clear yet. But where you can start is by praying and fasting. For generations, children and families in the poorest places in the world have struggled to find clean water, food, and a chance for a brighter future. But all that can change in this generation. You can be part of the solution. Go to worldconcern.org. As you participate, this is what will happen. Villages will be transformed far beyond where the road ends, and children and families will receive the love of Christ. You can make a difference. Go to worldconcern.org. Let's be part of the solution together. God is calling you to rebuild. What is that? What is He calling you to build up and to rebuild? And as He calls you, are you going to be listening? One of the greatest ways to be listening is to fast and to pray. Now, God speaks to Nehemiah, and God starts to show him what these next steps are going to be. And it's going to include mobilizing a lot of people. I love the shift from prayer and fasting to action and to mobilizing others. When you pray and fast, God's going to reveal both task and team. What's He saying to you about the task? For Nehemiah, it was going to be building a massive wall. They were going to need supplies. They were going to need a plan, a layout. There's a huge task to accomplish. But far more than that, it's relationships. He's very strategic. He has people build up the wall right next to where they live. It's brilliant because where are people going to own it? Right there where they live every day. They're going to want the wall to be strong next to their house. And he builds out the wall and he has certain people at different places and it's all aligned. And then the relationships, they continue to unite. There are a couple people, Sanballat and Tobiah, that are always against the work. There's always going to be a Sanballat and Tobiah. But what happens? The people are united, and sometimes opposition will help build unity. And because Sanballat and Tobiah were always there, physically intimidating, threatening, discouraging, saying things like, yeah, how are you going to build this? If a fox jumped on it, it would fall over. They were mocking, ridiculing. They said to Nehemiah, come off the wall. Come over here. talk to us. Instead of building, let's think through this and have a conversation. Nehemiah saw right through it. He says, I'm doing a great work for the Lord. I don't have time to come down there. Distraction, intimidation, physical threat. Nehemiah had to put guards up on the wall to protect, physically protecting the people and the wall. And at the same time, praying, at the same time, working with all their heart. The Bible says they worked with all their heart. In my experience in ministry, there's a link between praying and working with all your heart. If you don't pray, you might not be as motivated. If you don't pray, you might not work as hard. See, people don't connect those two. They think, well, I'll either pray or I'll work hard. No, working hard, consistent, I'm talking about consistently going the extra mile. Where do you find the strength when you run out of strength? When you lose motivation, where do you go? A lot of people quit. A lot of people complain. A lot of people just work half-hearted. But the place to go is back to prayer, back to your knees. When I'm starting to get discouraged, where do I go? I get on my knees. When I realize I can't do this today, I need God's help, I get on my knees. Link those two together, continual focus, perseverance, hard work, work with all your heart, and then the prayer. Nehemiah prayed, and then it says they made up to half the wall being complete as they worked with all their heart. All these are different components. What you see in the book of Nehemiah is a lot of fruit, but don't miss the root. The fruit is the unity. The fruit is a good plan. The fruit is courage in the face of opposition. There's a lot of fruit that happens. Ultimately, the wall is going to be built up. But the root of this, this vision and work and plan was grounded in prayer. How deep are the roots in your life? What does your prayer life look like these days? Is it just before meals? Is it once in a while? Are you feeling stuck? Are you always trying to play alone and not really praying with other people that often? We come together as embers that burn, you know, and start to fade. When we come together, we ignite, the fire's lit, and the bonfire grows. Find some people who want to pray. Find some people who want to fast. Do it together. Our church comes together for 3 weeks in January for an intentional time of prayer and fasting. It helps each of us to know that someone else is fasting. Someone else is praying. We're doing this together. When you go for a long run, it's easier if someone's with you because they encourage you. They keep running. When I run alone, I just want to quit a lot of times. It's true in the Christian life. And in your walk with God, find some other people who share that purpose and passion. Nehemiah is going to start alone, but not stop alone. Go deep alone. Spend time alone. He knows he's got to hear from God. He hears from God, and then he doesn't tell anyone right away. There's a season where you protect what God's deposited, what he's revealed. You don't just tell everyone what God's going to do. You walk with God, you listen to God, but then you start to build the team. And in God's timing, God's team, this is what Jesus did. Jesus spent the entire night praying, asking for wisdom, revelation. Who are the disciples? And God led him. Father God led him. Jesus would spend time every morning with the Father. We need to spend time every morning with the Father, listening, abiding, receiving his guidance. God empowers us. And Jesus had wisdom, and here's the 12, because the team is the key. And when you pray, it's the task in the team. I hope you're catching this today. Fast and pray, bring those two together. And when you do, God's going to show you the task, and he's going to provide the team. Step into both. If you don't have a team, you're not going to go as far. There's no way Nehemiah can build a wall without a great team. There's no way you can have a vibrant church without all these great teams. There's no way that, you know, cities are transformed without teams. It takes teams. God works in teams. Jesus chose the 12 after an overnight, an all-nighter with prayer. Prayer and fasting, it led to the team. Who's your team? How's your team? Do you have a team that you're on? How's that team doing? Who are the people God's brought on that team? Who do you still need on that team? Nehemiah thought through the team. Different locations, different strengths, different gifts, different people. It's all part of one team. Jesus has one body. In your local church, get on a team. Find a team, start serving. Use your gifts. That team is essential. So important to have a team and to build a culture with that team. I played in a lot of teams in sports. Some of them had a championship culture in the locker room and some didn't. There's a big difference. There's a wide spectrum on teams. You show up in a locker room, you can kind of tell how far a team's going just by the culture in the locker room. You need a team with a great culture. And when you have culture and you have a great team, God blesses that. And then you also need a task. You need clarity. What are your gifts? What are your talents? Where's the brokenness? Where are the needs? What's the burden that God has laid on your heart? And what's exciting is that as you pray and as you fast, God reveals His will. God reveals what He wants. Now, I can tell you it's going to involve loving your neighbors. I can tell you that the ripple effects will be local and global. I can tell you there's going to be healing. I can tell you that it's going to be a story of God's grace. I can tell you it'll be centered on Jesus. Like, I can tell you broadly what it is, but for Nehemiah, it's very specific. Build a wall in Jerusalem as part of this restoration. Ezra is part of the team, but he has a different role. He's more of the prophet that's really going to go after hearts. So there'll be repentance. There'll be a returning to God. There's not only a physical building up of the city, but there's also a spiritual component, and the two go together. It doesn't mean Nehemiah is not spiritual. He's very spiritual. He's physical. Some people love God, and they build, and they roll up their sleeves, and they can do amazing things. They build houses for people who are homeless. They go overseas, and they build, and there's wells, and now there's clean water. Some are going to roll up their sleeves and build. Others are going to pray in Acts. Some of them wait on tables. Others are praying. Some people have specific gifts and talents where it's work and it's labor and sweat. Others are going to be a little more speaking in the word or scripture. And all this is part of the team. Nehemiah inspires the team. He tells the team, remember the Lord. Don't give up. I know there's opposition. He's got a gift when it comes to speaking. There's others who are physically building those walls. All of this comes together. There's a specific task and there's a team that's talented that God brings together. And when you put these components, just mapping this out so clear from Nehemiah chapter 1, put these different components, prayer and fasting, that's the root, that's the core. You start there. If that's not vibrant, that's where you start today. If you've been trying to do all the tasks in your own strength, you're probably either worn out or stressed out. You're frustrated at other people because you feel like you're doing all the heavy lifting, or you just want a different job somewhere. You don't even know that that's where God's called you because you've just been in action and motion and hurrying and to-dos, and you don't even stop and check. Wait, God, is this where you want me? You're just in task mode all the time. That's why Jesus said to Martha, Martha, you're running after, you're busying. Like, love your heart for serving, but you're missing out on time with me and abiding and listening to me. And that's what Mary's doing. It's a both and. It's a both and. But if we're all action and we're not abiding, our action, it's not going to be fruitful. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. So as you map this out, prayer and fasting is at the root, is at the core. And spend time at the feet of Jesus. Spend time on your knees. Write down, what is He saying to you? Spend time in the Word. What is He communicating to you? Spend time in the book of Nehemiah. If you're someone that's just looking for direction right now, you don't really know your purpose, spend time in the book of Nehemiah. Walk through this roadmap just like Nehemiah walked through this. Start with prayer and fasting. Pour out your heart to God. Listen to God. Time in the Word. Write down what God's saying to you. Start to write down the needs. Write down the vision. Spend time there. Linger there. Longing for God. Listening to God. Lingering in God's presence. When that happens, you get filled up. Our God fills us, doesn't empty us. He fills us with encouragement and wisdom and hope and vision and direction and clarity. He's not going to give you every step for the next 100 steps, but He's going to give you enough clarity to know, here's the direction I'm going to start, and here's the first two or three steps I'm going to take. And that's what Nehemiah receives. In a broken city, we need people like Nehemiah today. who are in broken cities, broken neighborhoods, see broken families and broken hearts, and have the wisdom to stop, fast, and pray. You can't fast forward over that. You can't microwave that. You got to go deep with God and receive. And as you do that, there's going to be two directions. God's going to give you a task, and he's going to give you a team. If you've been fasting and praying, maybe today is a chance to think through, what's my task, my assignment, that it's got my name on it. This is what I'm doing for God. It's from God and for God. This is my task. What's your task? And then this is my team. These are the people. We still need to add one, two, three more. So let's go find them. Let's go add them to the team. Or maybe we're carrying around some extras on the team that just don't fit on the team. And they've got a different role, but this is not the team. Okay, you got to protect the culture of the team. But you have a team. You have a task. All this, continue in prayer, fasting and seeking, and God changes the city. Is that helpful today? If you've been thinking about purpose and prayer, going from prayer to action, how does it all play out? I keep saying it today because no one told me this when I started ministry. Nobody told me this when I was growing up. You know, I didn't even know the Lord. And it took a lot of years to find out this is how ministry works. This is how life works. This is how God works. You take that core, pray and fast. And from that, you listen and receive. You abide with Jesus. Then God leads you out with a task and a team. And don't go sideways. Don't try to do everything to please everybody or do every demand that people have of you. You know your lane. You run that lane for the glory of God. You do it with the right team and the right culture. And then what happens? Healing, restoration, transformation, God's glory. It's amazing, the book of Nehemiah. It's inspiring. And I hope you're encouraged today that there is hope in your city. There is hope for your family. Take the next step to fast and pray. Find the team, the resources, and then also say yes to the task that God has for you. And let's give God the glory. Let's be humble. It's because of his love and faithfulness that God does above and beyond, far exceeding all that we could think, ask, or imagine. This is our God. He's good. He's in control. We can trust him in difficult times. And as there's success, don't take the credit. Don't take it for granted. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And I'm praying for the cities across America. I'm praying for the city right here. Auburn is where our church is. I'm praying that God will do a great work in Auburn this year. Let's fast and pray, find a team, say yes to God's task, and serve him together. There's a bonfire because God is love, God is light, God is a consuming fire. Let's keep growing in our faith together as we grow in our prayer life together and as we grow close to God, abiding with Jesus. God is good all the time. God is good, and he's worthy of that slowing down, praying, fasting, and listening. Bring praying and fasting together. There's spiritual power. God wants to light the fire in your soul.